I love her. I love her very much. I've never had a feeling like
shut
this.
Shut up.
And speaking of love, weren't you and I going to talk about that today?
Yes, we were.
But, well, couldn't you manage to arrange your time so you could have a little fun, too?
Darzen Murder.
I miss you so much, bro. I just go walk around talking to myself, pretending I'm you. Oh, brighter. hey, everyone. Welcome to VomCom, the podcast about the romantic comedies that you love to hate.
And hate to love. We'd like to acknowledge that the recording of this podcast takes place both in the region of Peel, which is part of the treaty lands and the territory of the Mississaugas of the Credit.
And Ottawa, which was built on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin Nation territory. Kat, what movie are we going to talk about today?
We are talking about my favorite movie.
Really?
Like, favorite rom-com movie, favorite romantic comedy Christmas movie, and one of my favorite movies, genuinely one of my favorite movies. We're talking about While You Were Sleeping.
This movie has it all. You know what bitches love? Bitches love rom-coms and bitches love Christmas. And if you put those things together, it's like catnip.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, this movie... Oh, the thing I was going to tell you earlier, but I said I'll save it, was that I went on to Disney Plus to go stream this movie. And it said resume. And I went, huh? So clearly I had gone in, started it, and stopped it. And I went in and restarted it to see what point it was at. And it was at the part where... I think I probably turned it off because I was cringing.
Oh, yeah?
Because it was, like, part of the hijinks of the misunderstandings that happened in the movie.
Yeah.
But rewatching it... So I thought I didn't really like this movie, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But rewatching it a second time, I love this movie, bro.
It's so good.
Bro, it's so good.
It's actually funny.
Yeah. I have a lot of glowing things to say about this.
Yeah.
But, like, just to give everyone a little bit of context... This movie came out in 1995. Sandra Bullock's star was on the rise at this point. She had done Speed the year prior with Keanu Reeves, which was like, everyone knows. If you're a fan of rom-coms, if you're a fan of Sandra Bullock, you know that there's like this mythos around Sandra Bullock and Keanu Reeves.
Ugh.
Because when they did Speed together, there was like that like mysterious flirtation that they had. Mm-hmm. And like they were both like secretly in love with each other, but they never dated, and like they still talk about it to this day.
They never told each other, which is like one of the biggest crimes in history.
Literally. But also, the signs were there. I mean, I've read interviews where they both talk about it, and I was like, you guys are such dummies.
Also,
but like beautiful, sweet, but dummies.
Beautiful, non-communicative dummies. Did you see? There are like so many videos where they're 100% flirting with each other, like being so touchy-feely,
head over heels and like she's like giggling and he's like tucking her hair behind her ear. It's like, oh my god.
Yeah, oh my god, how is that not obscene? You know?
Yeah, like am I allowed?
Yeah,
to be
should I be
this?
Watching this? Yeah, that's exactly what that was.
Should I avert my Christian eyes?
Unfortunately, I would love to see a rom-com with Sandra Bullock and Keanu Reeves, but they only do Speed, the weird movie The Lake House, and have they done a third one together? It's just those two.
I feel like yes.
Really?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I would have to check on that after.
Yeah.
But this movie, in which Sandra Bullock also has great chemistry with someone
truly.
Else.
Truly.
And that someone else is... Bill Pullman.
Yep.
A very young Bill Pullman. For those of you who don't know him, he was the guy who played the dad in Casper.
Oh, yeah.
Christina Ricci.
Yes.
That's how I knew him for the longest time.
Yep.
Like, he also is, what did you say? He's the president in Independence Day. He is
the main character
in The Sinner.
Yes. That's
I haven't seen Independence
recently.
Day, but The Sinner, wow. The Sinner, such a good show,
oh,
dude.
Oh, my God.
He...
How did I know this, what? That he was the president of Independence Day? Just literally from, like,
because
screenshots.
You just have, you have a lot of, like, ambient knowledge of things.
Thank you. This movie came out in 1995. I think I read on Wikipedia that it came out to critical and commercial success, so that's great.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And it's got, honestly, I want to say like an all-star cast a little bit, but like everyone is doing the best work in this film, I think. Mm-hmm. Do you want me to read you the synopsis or the,
yeah, hit me,
the little tagline?
Lay it on me.
A hopelessly romantic Chicago Transit Authority token collector is mistaken for the fiance of a coma patient. Wow.
What a mouthful.
What a mouthful.
What a pitch. What an elevator pitch.
Honestly. What a... I just felt like I was being punched with every word, you know?
Punched with plot points.
Yeah. Jesus. So simply put, that's what the movie is about. It's kind of a crazy, broad movie. And one of my, like, notes that I want to talk about is that it's very... It's a little melodramatic because it is a comedy, obviously. But I think in
What do you mean by crazy broad?
As in, like, the concept is broad in that she is super in love with this guy that she's never spoken to, who is Peter. Mm-hmm. In the film, his name is Peter, and in real life, it's Peter Gallagher, who is...
Sandy Cohen
from the OC. She's super in love with this guy, would immediately marry him, and then he falls down the train tracks. She saves him, and then gets mistaken as his fiance at the hospital over some misunderstandings and miscommunication, and then his family immediately like brings her into their family, and she essentially spends like max 2 weeks with these people. And that's it. She's done. She's sold for life. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit broad in the sense of like that this person she has never met, she can get away with all of the things that she gets away with, of like still pulling off the fact that she's his fiance, you know? Like she gets lucky, obviously. It's just...
Oh, a lot of times. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Several times.
It's like fate or something.
Yeah.
There's this one sequence where she just keeps on having really good luck to maintain her ruse.
Reading, if someone told me what this movie was, like if someone read this to me before I even saw this movie, before even knowing it was Sandra Bullock or Bill Pullman or any of the things that are selling points, I would literally be like, that's a wild movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it is a totally crazy premise. It is crazy. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, like, right from the get-go, I think the storytelling is such that even though it's totally a crazy premise, I'm buying it. Because
yes.
They do a lot of things. This could have come out really badly. Mm-hmm. Like, it could have been executed badly. Mm-hmm. But it actually was executed beautifully. Because, like... For starters, right from the get-go, within the first 5 minutes, we know so much about Sandra Bullock's character, Lucy. Mm-hmm. We know that her mom died when she was little. We know that her dad also passed away at some point, that he was a romantic. She grew up poor. Mm-hmm. She is like him in a lot of ways, so she's romantic. She's lonely. She's a little bit quirky and a little bit whimsical.
Yeah, and she is a wannabe wanderluster.
Yeah, she has like... We know about her, like, crush on Sandy Cohen. Mm-hmm. And we know that she likes Christmas. Mm-hmm. We know that she's single. Mm-hmm. We know all these things. And the fact that she works at the subway. Or...
Yeah.
What do they call it?
The CTA.
Transit worker. She's a train.
Yeah.
Chicago Transit Authority.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Oh, my God. If it wasn't readily obvious that this movie takes place in Chicago, they reference it, like, every other second.
They really do.
I don't know. Again, I wonder if this movie was this movie sponsored by Chicago. It was partially sponsored by Dunkin' Donuts, that's for sure, because there's one part where he walks in and he's holding a box that says Dunkin' Donuts, and he's holding it up so you can see the label, and he goes, hey, Dad, brought you some donuts.
Hey, Dad, let's have this super important father-son conversation over this box of Dunkies.
Dunkies.
Yeah.
Donks.
Donkies.
Just the dad... And his kid, Donkin.
Yeah, I think... See, the thing is that I was thinking about this movie, like, objectively. And would I buy into it if it weren't for the fact that the writing is actually good? that it's actually funny and that there's actual chemistry between them. Because so much...
This is true.
So much of... Like, I'm not saying so much of this movie reminds me of Little Italy, but having just watched that and, like, literally one of the examples of, like, a terrible romantic comedy.
Yes.
Seeing the differences of, like, why we didn't buy into any of the things in Little Italy, but we buy into everything in this movie.
That's actually, I'm so glad you said that, because that was one of the things that I wanted to talk about. The fact that we did Little Italy just a week, or like the last release was I'm just so glad that we did these in close succession, because it just has such a stark contrast. And the note that I wrote is that one of the things that helps to support the feasibility of this kind of crazy plot is that the family dynamic of the Callahans, so Peter's family, the guy in the coma, his family, Lucy saves Peter when he falls onto the tracks. She pulls him to the side. He goes into a coma. When she follows him to the hospital, a series of hijinks happens, and his entire family, who shows up at the hospital, thinks that Lucy is Peter's fiance. This family is super, like, they're kind of cartoonish in some ways. They're constantly, like, it's like bam, bam, bam. It's like a Gilmore Girls script, like, the way how fast they're talking and all the jokes that they're throwing back and forth, their bits. It's, and then, like, you know, they've all got very distinct characters, which are consistent. Because if you don't have a lot of screen time and you don't have a lot of lines, if your lines do not, are they not, they're not cohesive and they don't form a strong character, you're not going to be memorable, and it's not going to be a good character, right?
Yeah.
So each of these characters, they don't have a lot of screen time necessarily, but they really put their whole butt into each line.
Yeah, they really do.
As you say.
Yeah.
I think part of the family has these moments that are a bit more cartoonish, and then they have these moments that are a bit more human, and the combination of those things makes the kind of craziness of this movie plot make sense.
Yes.
You have, it fluctuates back and forth in a nice balance between cartoonish characters and human moments.
Yes.
And another great example is the landlord's son, where at the building where Lucy lives.
Yeah.
Joey Jr. I friggin' love this character.
So do I.
An inch of my heart. He is so funny.
So funny.
Can I just tell you, this movie made me feel seen. I identify with, like, every character. Like, when he walks into, he's trying to get with Lucy the whole movie, and when he walks into Lucy's apartment, and he goes, wait, I wrote it down. Okay, so he confronts Lucy about dating another guy.
Yeah.
And he comes in, and he says, he's holding his hands up like this. Yeah. Like, I won't have anything more to do with you. It's me or him.
Yeah.
And she goes, him. He goes, okay, well, you don't have to decide right away. He's holding his hands up. Like, he's like, no, you can't win me back, Lucy. And Lucy's, like, walking away from him. So good. He's such a weird character.
So weird.
At one point, like, what was the other? He's just so funny and likable. And he is a big character. To me, that's, like, a big, like, over-the-top character.
Yeah.
But, again, for some reason, they've just given him these little quirks that make him more realistic than the kind of stock characters that were in Little Italy.
Yes. I will say, I'm glad you brought this up, because it is something I really wanted to talk about, because people think that in comedies that it should just be joke, 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 only jokes the entire time. And they're like, don't put any feeling into it, because I don't want to see it. I only want to laugh. But laughs are only worth it, and they only hit properly if you ground them in some sort of reality or human emotion.
I 100% agree.
Because if you listen to any kind of comedian talk about, like, the films that they write, or pretty much, like, the films that they do, that there are a lot of, like, heartfelt moments, or there's, like, one big heartfelt moment that kind of grounds the entire thing. A lot of people will be like, why? You know, why include that? Or it's like, wow, what a surprise to have that in a comedic film. And a lot of the comedians are like, it's kind of obvious, because you're not going to care about these characters. You're not going to laugh and enjoy anything that's happening because you don't care about them. And exactly. And
how they're do literal, you... literal, like, clowns on a stage.
They're literal clowns on the stage. But even then, like, you need to identify with them on some level in order to get a laugh. So... I think that's the thing that Little Italy missed the most, is that it didn't ground itself enough in reality and make us care about any of the fucking characters. Because even Sandra Bullock on her own. So, like, all of the characters consistent. Even she is pretty consistent. We see what she's like by herself. We can see what her character is like. Like, she's a full-formed person. She's not, like, existing to be this hot... idea of a person, like the girl who got away, you know? Literally, she lives alone in an apartment. She is in her situation because she had to care for her dad, works at the CTA as a token collector only because she had to stop school. And when she's alone, she's like not acting pretty, you know? She's not acting for anybody else. Like, she'll literally dunk her Oreo in her cat's milk that she's trying to feed her cat, you know? Like, it's it's real and it's grounded and it's not just like stupid. So that's why.
And that's the scene that lets you know that she's lonely, because she's eating a microwave meal. Yeah. And in the 90s, if you're eating a microwave meal in a movie or TV show, that is shorthand for I am very sad.
I'm very sad and very lonely. Sandra Bullock has done two of these microwave meals. One, while you were sleeping. Two, Miss Congeniality.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, yes.
These are very, I will remember this for the rest of my life, because Sandra Bullock rom-coms hit differently for me. I love
her. Girl, tell me about it.
I love her. If she approached me and was like, give up everything in your life for me, I'd be like, yeah, got it. Not even 2 weeks notice. Goodbye, everybody. Adios.
Was that another reference to one of her other?
Oh my God.
Oh no, that was a proposal. No, wait. Was she in 2 weeks?
She was in 2 weeks notice. Yeah, that was fucking her in 2 weeks notice. We have to do 2 weeks notice. We have to do 2 weeks
notice. Oh my God, I love Sandra Bullock so much. And can I just say, how beautiful is she now, and was she in this movie? With her, like, little 90s fluffy little bangs, and then, like, her just perfect sweet little face. And she always has these big sweaters on.
Cute.
Sweaters that are so big that at one point she pulls a gift out of the sleeve of one of her sweaters.
So I told you that I was watching this movie yesterday, and then my boyfriend came in and he, like, halfway through, right? He kept, because, like, I hadn't seen him all day. He came home, kept trying to say stuff to me, and I would pause the movie or rewind over a part that he had, like, spoken over. And he goes, why are you rewinding? You can probably recite this entire movie if you wanted to. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm still watching. Hello. And then, so yeah, like, anything she does, I will rewatch 1,000,000,000 times. And then at one point, I think it's the scene at the end where she's, like, confessing everything, and she's standing there and she's, like, kind of crying, and he just goes out of nowhere, like, ugh. And I thought he was gonna complain about it being stupid or the movie sucks or something. And he goes, ugh.
Yeah.
She's so cute. She's so sweet and so cute. I'm like, yeah, that's America's sweetheart, dude.
And, like, people throw that phrase around a lot.
Yeah, they really do.
But I really, every single time I watch a Sandra Bullock role, I go, oh, right.
Yeah.
That's why she is America's sweetheart. That's why I love every single movie that she's in. Because she's good, dude.
She's great. So good.
Normally, when you get to the scene at the end of the movie, if it's a tearful, kind of, like, melodramatic or overdramatic scene, and there's sad music playing, and it's kind of, like, the climactic scene, a lot of the times I'll just be, like, not very moved by it.
Yeah.
Because it's very manufactured a lot of times. I teared up watching that, because it wasn't just, like, the dynamic that they have in this movie and this particular scene, it comes to a head in this scene, is that Sandra Bullock is not just in love with the man in the movie. She's in love with the whole family, because she feels acceptance, and she has been lonely and without a family for so long. She is starved for that feeling. Mm-hmm. And the Callahans just take her in. Like, so quickly, yeah. and they just accept her.
Like, without questions.
They make her a little stalking.
They make her a stalking.
They just do so many cute things. They're such a sweet family, and they're just, like, kind of crazy, but very lovable, and they just take her under their wing, and they just keep inviting her to all these events, and they're, like, she just feels a sense of belonging, and she was just, it, like, filled a hole in her heart.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, she also fell in love.
Yeah.
Right? So it's just, like, if it was just the kind of falling in love aspect, it's like, okay, I've been there, seen that. I'm just a girl standing in front of a boy, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But this was a girl standing in front of a family and a boy in a chapel, in a hospital.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, this is fresh. I've never seen this. But the fact that there was the family element and she... It wasn't just, I am in love with this person. It was, I am in love with this person, and I don't feel lonely anymore
yeah.
because of XYZ. That is what, like, brought it home for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Because it's grounded in, like, real feelings that are overall relatable. Because lots of people, unfortunately, don't get to fall in love that often. Don't get to experience that. So then...
Mm-hmm.
Watching rom-coms, sometimes they're like alienated or they can't relate because they haven't felt that kind of feeling, you know? But yeah. everyone knows what it feels like to be lonely. And like, whether you grew up in a big family or in a small family, like, you know what it feels like to want acceptance from parental figures and be a brother or a sister or a grandchild, you know?
Yeah.
So even at like, at the end of the movie, when she's telling them the truth, she's not just like looking at the guy. She's literally, yeah. she's not even facing him really. She just like kind of looks towards him when he has something to say. But she's telling like the entire family, and she's coming clean to them and like apologizing to them, and not even just to him, you know, or just the two guys.
Yeah.
So essentially what happens is, the guy she sees every day on the subway is Peter Callahan. He's a very...
I love how we were both kind of like dancing around and calling it like, she falls in love, the guy. Have you noticed that we haven't said which guy that she falls in love with yet, listeners? It's because there's another plot twist. Cat laying on him.
So Peter Callahan is the fancy lawyer that she sees every day that she's fallen in love with, because obviously he's handsome and well-dressed, and I don't blame her 1,000%. Girl, I've been there.
Oh, 100,000.
Most of the guys...
He wears, like, a little scarf.
Oh.
He's got, like, a long... He's got that double-breasted, like, wool coat,
mm-hmm.
and, like, at one point he comes in on Christmas Day with, like, a little red scarf, oh. and I was like, okay, Ebenezer Scrooge.
And he looks at her, and he's like, hey, hi, Merry Christmas.
Oh. Yeah. Literally, the bar is so low. But like, guys, you have to watch it, though, because the eye contact, it was, like, slow motion.
Especially when before he had not been providing eye contact, you know? And then this mm-hmm. one time, girl, I felt seen by this. I have been felt mm-hmm. seen by this since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at you, this one guy who worked at the bookstore on my university campus. I remember one time he made eye contact with mm-hmm. me, and I was like, whoa, that's what falling in love feels like, everybody. FYI. That's it.
Throw out all these other books. I'm going to write the book on love. Okay?
Something happens to him. Molly already explained. He falls into a coma. There's a misunderstanding. She's identified as his fiance at the hospital. So now the family's like, oh my God, we're getting a new daughter. We get our Peter back. God bless. Because like, he is rich and successful and has left the family. And he's like, I'm too bougie and fancy for you guys. Goodbye.
Yeah.
So now they're like, oh, our son is back, blah, 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 blah. And it seems to be with a very nice, normal-looking girl whose last name isn't Bacon. Haha. And yeah, so then she gets...
They're like, oh my gosh, you know, this all happened on Christmas Day.
Oh my God, yeah.
So they're like, we didn't get to celebrate Christmas. Come celebrate Christmas the next day at our house. You can meet Jack.
Yeah.
And everyone kind of... And then they gloss over that. And she's like, okay. And then the next day... She goes to their house and, you know, to keep up. She goes, at first you can tell she's not thinking of going, but then she is lonely and decides to go. She gets out of the cab, immediately goes, what am I doing? Turns around to leave, and then one of the family members walks up.
Saul.
And goes, hey, you're here, Saul. Yeah, so he's not technically a family member. He's the neighbor/godfather to Peter, the guy in the coma. Everyone keep up, okay? So she goes into the house because she got swept in by Paul. She was going to Saul, rather.
Oh, also, we're missing a part. Hold on, sorry. So
what?
We at this point know that Saul knows about her because after, on Christmas Day, after they, everybody left the hospital, she went home but couldn't sleep or couldn't be whatever. So she kind of had to come clean. So she went back to the hospital, sat by Peter's side, confessed everything basically to him. Unbeknownst to her, Saul.
But knowns to us.
Saul was standing behind the glass and he overheard everything. So he had heard, he knows that it's all fake and she's just pretending and blah, blah, blah. So he's like, ugh, this person is just faking being in our family and I'm not going to let her hurt these people. Sorry. Now you can go on with what you were saying.
Right. So with all this in mind, when he sees her walking up the driveway, he has a little chat with her on the front porch. And the subtext of the conversation is that he says to himself, I don't care if you're lying because I think that you're a nice person. I don't think that you'll hurt these people. He doesn't say it out loud. He doesn't tell Lucy that he knows. He just goes with the flow. And so she thinks that the ruse is still in place. Later on, Saul even encourages her to keep up the ruse because basically she is a good influence on the family and vice versa, and he sees that. So that is another thing that adds to the plausibility of the plot.
Yeah.
Because I was just thinking, like, there's just so many subtle things that add to the plausibility of the plot. So at that night...
Wait, can
she falls asleep at their house for some reason.
I know, they get too shwasted. Can I say the actual line that he says where he was like, the Callahans, they took me in. I would never let anyone hurt them. And then she looks him dead in the eye and goes, neither would I. And he's like, oh, whoa. I just want to make that... She a real one. So, like, I just want to make that clear that she has already been like, this family is very pure and should be protected. I would never intentionally go around hurting anybody. Because this is not her intention. She just, like, is getting herself into this situation because she's craving love and affection. That's it. Okay. But yeah.
Yeah. And also, there was also another factor involved in her not telling the truth, which is that the grandma of the family has a very sensitive and volatile heart condition. And whenever things get exciting, the grandma starts to, like, have heart flutters. So she didn't want to, like, she didn't want to spill the beans.
You're right. And
hospitalize the grandma. So that was another aspect of it. Yep. She was feeling real guilty.
Yep. That's very, I forgot about that. Literally, someone who is not supposed to be excited, she herself is very excitable all the time.
Oh, yes. Which I love.
Which I love.
Again, feel very seen by.
Yeah.
One question I wanted to ask you is, which character do you identify with the most?
The most?
In this movie. Yeah.
I feel like I identify with... I feel like I identify with Ox, the dad.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a mixture of Ox and Saul.
Really?
Yeah.
I love it.
How about you? Who do you identify with?
I was thinking about it, and I think it's a combination of Lucy because of the size of her sweaters and jackets, and which are massive, and Peter and Jack's mom.
Yeah.
Whose name I can't really remember, but every time she had a line, I was like, yeah, that sounds like something I would blurt
She's
out.
So funny.
There's one point where they're having this conversation over dinner, and every single one of the people at the dinner table is having a different conversation.
That's so funny.
The entire
funny.
Time she's just going... She's just going, these mashed potatoes are so good. There's 5 minutes later, she just goes, these potatoes are so creamy. Mary mashed these potatoes. Can you believe this? And then, like, there's later one scene. She really, like, wears her emotions
That's
on
very
her sleeve,
you.
Which I can identify with. Yeah, and there's one scene, you know, when they're in the hospital, Peter wakes up from his coma, and the mom is just standing there, and she just goes, oh, I'm so happy.
Yeah.
That sounds like something I would just state out loud my emotional state. Just say it
you
out
would
loud.
State out loud your do. Emotional state and what you're seeing or your observations. So, like, I see why you're very identified by her.
You've heard me go on and on about potatoes. You've seen it.
I feel like a younger me would have said Lucy, because that's why I did really identify with this movie. I was like, oh, I'm just gonna be lonely forever.
Drama.
But I also, I think I identify with like Ox and Saul because one, I'm always, I feel like I'm, someone will say, oh, nice sweater. I'll be like, $5. So when Lucy's like,
that's Ox, right?
Yeah. When Lucy was like, yeah. It was his smile. And then Ox goes, 600, it's his, they're caps. They're not his real teeth. $600 a tooth.
He's so funny.
And just,
he just blurts it out.
He just blurts it out. And he's just like aggressively like, I don't know. He's just like aggressively himself. And then even when Jack eventually tells him that he doesn't want to be part of the family business, he goes, why didn't you tell me? Hello? You know, like instead of being like, I'm disappointed in you, you know?
Yeah.
Which I also really liked.
Also, another way that you're like Ox is that you're very like work oriented. There's one scene where they're in church and literally people start shushing them from around them because they're talking about business in church.
Very funny. That church scene, very good. I saw all of the so family good. Scenes. I love that they move as a unit. You rarely see them by themselves. It's great.
And the, oh, another thing I really wanted to talk about, the banter in this movie.
Yes.
Sometimes, you know, the banter, whether it be romantic or whether it just be comedic, a lot of the time in rom-coms, it can stink to the high heavens.
Yes.
It can be very corny.
Yes.
It can be cringy. It can be tired. In this movie, it's so... This movie's from 95, and this commentary and banter is still fresh.
So fresh. And also, so natural. Because...
Exactly.
The banter... That, yeah.
They're not trying to oversell it, bro. No. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's so freaking good.
It's so good.
And, yeah, I want to... I'm going to jump back to where we get introduced to Jack.
Yes.
Because we need to start talking about Jack.
We got to talk about Jack.
So Jack comes in the night, okay? He's got the cool guy entrance, which is that the truck pulls up and you see his boots step down and then it closes and it follows him as he walks.
I love it.
Which is the same entrance that Sigourney Weaver has in Holes. Fun fact. I watched it recently. That's the only reason I know that offhand.
Sigourney Weaver?
She gets the cool girl entrance.
Sigourney Weaver is in Holes?
Yeah, Sigourney Weaver plays... She plays the warden.
Oh,
so she pulls
yeah.
up in this, like, Cadillac with... she's got these, like, snakeskin
or
crocodile skin cowboy boots. And she just steps out of the car in, like, the dust. And everyone's, like, looking at her. And you only see her feet.
Oh, my God.
So drama. I love it.
Speaking of people...
She's got, like, the red hair.
Speaking of people who are still hot and beautiful, Sigourney Weaver...
Which person from this movie?
Oh, okay. Sigourney Weaver.
I thought you were... Sigourney Weaver? Yes. Sandra Bullock? Yes. Bill Pullman?
Yes. Yes.
Sandy Cohen, whose real name is Peter Gallagher?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Still, yes. 100% yes. Mm-hmm. Hotties?
Hotties McTotties.
Such a delight. Yes. Speaking of potatoes. Okay, so the reason that I wanted to say, like, introduce our audience fully to Jack is because... an addendum to my last comment about how the banter is so, like, natural, fresh, and actually genuinely funny, the same can be said for all of the flirting
Ugh.
That happens between Lucy and Jack when Peter is in the coma.
Yeah.
Which, guys, plot twist, Lucy falls in love with Peter's brother, Jack, while Peter is in the coma.
While?
Hence the title.
Yeah. Sorry.
No. Go ahead. That would have been a perfect moment.
Sorry. While Peter was sleeping.
Boom. Title of the movie.
Title of the movie. I'm going to cut out the hesitation.
And there you have it, folks. No hesitation here, folks. Never heard of it.
Never heard of it.
Never felt that. Never experienced it. Not familiar with that. But yeah, I just like, you know, okay, look. Some people are just so good looking and like, you're like, this is great already. But then some people are so good looking and then just look good together.
Oh,
they match.
Yeah.
And when I say they match, Lucy and Jack
Ugh.
Are like yin and yang. It is a pleasure to watch on screen. I believe it. I buy it. I was in it to the point where sometimes they were flirting and I felt like I shouldn't be watching.
Yeah. Anytime right? they looked at each other, I was like, oof, that's intimate.
Yeah. Like, is this a high school timetable? Because they've got chemistry. Boom.
That was another observation made by my boyfriend when they were, I think it was the scene on New Year's Eve when he's exhibiting leaning to her.
That's the scene I was talking about.
I think it was that.
That's the one that's like obscene lean.
Obscene lean. So he's explaining mm-hmm. because he's like, you were leaning to Joe Jr. And she's like, what do you mean I was leaning? I was hugging him. And he's like, no, there's hugging and then there's leaning. And then he starts leaning. And her back is pressed up against a statue. The base of a statue.
And his voice starts getting real low. His
voice starts getting real low and scratchy and deep. And
the camera goes in real close.
And she's looking up at him and there are twinkle Christmas lights in the background. And
literally as if it already, if they needed to sell it even more, yeah. there were twinkle lights.
There were twinkle lights.
Like, okay, we're buying. Take my down payment. I'm buying.
And he just starts, he's like, leaning means wanting, seeing, accepting. And he's saying everything very slowly. And I was, and she's oh backing up. And I was like, even as like a 12-year-old, I was like, wow.
Yeah. You were shaking in your little 12-year-old light up Heelys. Because that shit catered to the female gaze.
It really, truly
wow,
did.
Wow, wowie, wow.
And they never, yeah. they were never even that close where they looked like they were even going to kiss. It was just like right? so intimate that they were looking at each other the way that they were. And guys, that's what sells it. You cannot have a fucking rom-com where two people do not have any fucking chemistry. So remember in Little Italy where I Preach. Said I thought that they had chemistry? I don't anymore. I take back what I said. I rescind yeah. my comment.
Look, rescind. Once you have real lobster dipped in butter, you cannot go back to imitation lobster.
Yeah.
That's what this is.
Yeah. This is real lobster.
It's real lobster, baby.
Yep.
This is, we are in Maine. The lobster was caught 20 feet away by your server. It's hot and fresh.
Yeah.
It was alive 5 minutes ago. You're going to love it.
This is Chicago, and this is a real deep dish of love, okay? Of love and chemistry.
We made that joke in the last episode, except we said that this, you said there's a lot going on in this movie, and I said, yeah, it's a real Chicago deep dish of movie. But it was a bad connotation.
But a bad kind.
This is a hot molten tomato sauce connotation.
This is when it's deep dish pizza really hits. The other one is when you were yeah. looking forward to a different kind of pizza and what you get is deep dish, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. So we talked about the comedy. These are my notes. The three things I specifically wanted to talk about. The comedy. Why it's actually funny. Mm-hmm. How it's actually funny. Because mm-hmm. also I think that the writing is good and I think doing all of the like banter kind of lines, one, makes it a little, makes it energetic mm-hmm. and then not yes. forced, even though some of it is like, who really talks like that in real life? But people do. If you sit around at a table, you're hearing 17 different conversations a lot of the time. Yes. You know?
I can confirm.
Can confirm.
If you ask my sister-in-law who... like to confirm whether or not this is a realistic scenario, when she came for the first time she came around the house, I don't know if it was Christmas or Thanksgiving or one of those, but I remember afterwards she told me a little while later, she was like, that was chaotic. there was a lot happening, and I was like, yes, this is, so can confirm, this is a real
yeah
dynamic.
Yeah, you gotta keep up. Two, we talked about the chemistry amongst everybody. And amongst, especially, more importantly, the two leads.
Most importantly.
Yes,
ma'am.
And then three, I want to talk a little bit about the romance. So about Lucy and Jack.
Oh, now we're talking. Here we go. Okay.
About Lucy and Jack. And I will make a case for almost everybody in this movie being a big fat romantic.
Oh, yeah.
starting off with Lucy.
Like, you don't even have to sell me, but I still want to hear you talk about it.
So Lucy is a romantic because her dad was one. Her dad is a romantic. Mm-hmm. Jack is a romantic because... What were my reasons for Jack being romantic? Oh,
he's...
Yeah, go on.
Go ahead.
No, you. I can't remember.
Well, I was going to say there was a lot of markers that he has, like, artistic and whimsical sensibilities.
Yes.
Such as the fact that he didn't want to take over his dad's clearly lucrative estate sale business. He wanted to instead... branch out on his own, making handmade wooden furniture, which, if that isn't the career path of a romantic comedy love interest,
oh my God.
Then I don't know what is.
Oh my God.
But hand making literal wooden furniture, like,
yeah,
okay, could this get any more like idyllic?
Yeah.
I'm going to get a credit check because I'm buying. I'm in. I want stock options.
Yeah.
Literally. Please. This is one of the best stories. Okay, I'm getting off topic. But did you remember what your thing was about why you thought Jack was romantic?
I think the same reasons that you thought that he is, like... I think his artistic sensibilities, definitely. And then also mm-hmm. just the way that he is around Lucy. He's always opening the door for her. And he's walking her to her door. Or just, like, being... nice and polite, and like he has a line where he's talking, Peter wakes up and Peter's trying to convince himself to, like, be in love with Lucy and marry her because Saul has told him to, essentially. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that later. And then Jack is kind of like talking about Lucy, and then he says a couple of lines about how she's so frustrating and you have to figure out if you wanna wrestle her or if it just means that she's really likable. Something along those lines. Or just, like, the way that he is. I think in, like, a lot of his looks, he's just a big romantic, you know?
The way that he was gazing off into the middle distance when talking about Lucy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little bit romantic.
Yeah.
It's a little bit romantic also that he gets, like, a lot of the time, like, he lets his emotions kind of, like, control his actions.
Yeah.
Which I would say is, like, kind of a hallmark of, like, romantic characters.
Yeah.
Hallmark pun not intended.
No. And
non-spawn yet
Hallmark
sponsor us.
Hallmark,
I swear, we'll stop swearing if you sponsor us.
Hallmark, let us write a movie for you.
Oh, even better. Yes. We've already got a few in the wings.
Yeah, we got a lot.
It's, shoot us a little DM.
It's so easy for us to come up with them. We can do this in our sleep. Please let us do it.
Literally. And we have we've woken up. That's why we keep jot pads next to the bed, y'all.
And then I think Saul is a romantic because of the way he talks about his wife. But he talks about the Callahans.
Oh, yes.
And then also the way he talked to Peter after Peter woke up. And so basically what happens, Peter wakes up, he sees everyone in his family, and then he sees Lucy standing amongst his family, and he's like, who are you?
And he's just British now.
And then everyone's like, oh no, he doesn't remember Lucy. And one of my favorite lines in this movie is that old doctor, who's Peter's doctor. And after he wakes up, they're all surrounding him, talking to him. And he's like, it's called selective amnesia.
Amnesia. That doctor is so funny the whole time. Because literally, like, Peter wakes up and they're all talking to him. And he's like, whoa, I think he's had enough excitement for the day.
And then, like, when they all come in here, he's like, you can't walk in here. It was very funny.
So attitude.
So, yeah, Peter wakes up and he's like, I don't remember Lucy. I don't know what you guys are talking about. I don't remember proposing to her. And then Saul tells Lucy, I'm going to clear everything up. I know you can't tell everybody because it's going to be hard. He's like, they can't kill me. I'm already too good of a friend. They've known me too long. They're not going to kill me. So let me do it. And then Saul chickens out, doesn't tell anybody, especially doesn't tell Peter.
This fucking guy.
And then he has a little sit-down conversation with Peter, putz to putz. And he says, Peter, you've been a putz. You have all of these things. You think you're a good guy, but really, you're not. And this lady will make you a good guy. So if you don't fall in love with her after 2 minutes of spending time with her, like we all have, then you really are a putz. And Peter's like, wow, okay. And Saul's like, yeah, take this as a second chance at life, like, make the right decision, blah, blah, blah. So then Lucy comes back, mm-hmm. spends time with Peter, and he's like, wow, actually, she seems pretty cool. I like her. I can see myself marrying her. That's fine.
You know what? Let's get married tomorrow.
Let's get married tomorrow. Let's get married right now. So Saul is like,
you got a dress or
so,
what?
So Saul, instead of being like, instead of dating her or, you know, getting to know her, he's like, if you don't marry her right this second. And again, that's one of those things that's like a little bit broad, but I kind of like that it's like big decisions and ultimatums, like it's either marriage or not. There's no like dating and casually getting to know each other.
Yeah.
Again, if they didn't do everything so well, I wouldn't buy into it, right?
That is true. That is the thought I had also. I was like, I'll let it slide, mm-hmm. because in the context of everything else, the way they've built it up,
yeah,
the stakes are too high for dating,
the going stakes are to too restaurants. High
to get to know somebody.
Exactly.
No.
We can't do that.
You need a legally binding contract yesterday.
Yesterday.
For this chick, because she is a hot commodity. She's not going to be on the market long. Mm. She's a catch.
She is.
Okay?
A little sweetheart.
Anyways. And that whole conversation was very funny.
Yeah. And then I think all of the Callahans, I think with exception of Ox, maybe, but all of the Callahans mm-hmm. are romantics. Remember when they first meet Lucy, they're sitting in the waiting room, and they're like, how did you meet?
Yes.
And the one...
I do.
The yes. one thing I want to say about that is I always find it weird in movies when the mom is super, like, swoony and dreamy over her own son. Mm-hmm. That also... That always kind of makes me, like, I don't like that. I don't like it.
Yeah, but they never, like... They didn't... I had that thought, too. But I think I was being a little reactive when I thought that was the only time you see that. Yeah. And then she does kind of like back off for the rest of the movie. I was like, okay.
Yeah. I think also in her defense, I think that she didn't hear anything about this relationship. This is all a surprise to her. So this is stuff that she would have gotten stories of if like Peter had actually brought Lucy home to his family, like in their regular dating life. She would have been like, oh my God, how did you two meet? And blah, blah, blah. So, like, she's just extra. But it's just anytime when they're...
Especially with the added, like, stakes of Peter being in a coma, which Saul explains later that the family feels as if they have Peter back because they have this sweet girl who was, they thought, engaged to Peter.
Yeah.
So, like, within that context as well, that scene makes more sense.
It does. It 1,000% makes more sense. But rewatching it and just seeing how they do that, I'm always like, why is that a trope though? I don't like that trope. It's mm-hmm. not like it came to fruition here, luckily, mm-hmm. but it's just that it just triggered that like thought in my head. I think that's it on my list of romantics. Do you have anybody else? Oh, Joe Jr.
Oh, Joey.
Joe Jr. I think is a romantic because he keeps making like big gestures. He doesn't execute them well, but he's a romantic. He comes bearing gifts and flowers, mm-hmm. you know?
And then he's clearly just wanting to be in love with somebody because then he starts dating someone else in the building and he's really busted up when it doesn't work out.
Yeah, that was so cute.
Which is like, he's very vulnerable.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it was supposed to be kind of played off for jokes.
Yeah.
Like the fact that he was like very sensitive. But like honestly, I watched it and I was like, oh, that makes him very like endearing.
Yeah. Because he's just like, again, he's probably lonely too. Like he lives with his dad.
Yeah.
He lives with his dad in the building.
He maybe just got out of jail semi-recently or he's on probation or something. Like his life is not going great.
Yeah. He just wants someone to like look at him and see the world, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's very endearing because I always want everyone to be loved, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little babies.
Little babies. My little babies. I've done a lot of talking. What do you have to say?
We touched on everything that I was really wanting to talk about. The only other scene that I want to talk about really briefly is the one where there's a big dynamic between Jack and Lucy the entire time, which is that they both see each other's problems. The dynamic between Lucy and Jack is so good. We've already discussed that. We've already talked about how good their flirting is. There's one scene where they're walking along and he's just getting to know her, basically.
Yes.
He's asking her all these questions, which, again, it seems like the bar is so low, but, like, when you have someone be that genuinely interested in you in that way, asking those type of questions that he was asking, these, like, follow-up thoughtful questions, and she was just, like, not used to being looked at so closely, so this was, like, totally alien to her, and you could tell that she was, like, loving it, and she was asking him questions and all this kind of stuff. And then, so they be... over the course of max 2 weeks,
literally
they come to know each other quite well. And they come to know each other's strengths and flaws really quickly. And typically in a rom-com, there's a scene where, you know, the for whatever reason, our protagonist will get their kind of ripped a new asshole by their love interest. It happens a lot of the time. It happens in Mean Girls, it happens in Sweet Home Alabama, it happens in She's the Man, I could go on. But in this movie, that dynamic was flipped. We have our protagonist ripping the love interest a new asshole. And when I say this, I'm not, like, I'm not just glorifying the fact that, like, they were, there was conflict. I mean that, like, it was interesting to see those roles reversed, because usually at that point, it's like the plot twist in Act Two that you see. In that, like, little chart of story parts. And usually that plot twist is, or the obstacle, whatever you want to call it, is, you know, Duke yelling at Sebastian. For being a bad friend. Or, you know, they're basically getting chewed out so that they're kind of, like, they're at a loss of power, or they're in conflict. They're, they have this internal conflict. In this one, they do it differently. And I just thought that was really... it was really understated to do it like that. It just strayed from, it strayed from the path, the formula just a little bit. But it, and I'm glad they did it because it paid off. So there was that. And then also the other note is just, this is apparently usually Kat's the, like, super thirsty one here, but I'm going to be the thirsty one today. Cause Bill Pullman. What?
I know.
A handsome man.
What a handsome.
What a just handsome working man. With a shearling collar, denim jacket, just work pants, carving
literally
wood chairs.
Levi's and jeans.
Table sets. Oh my God. And he has heterochromia. Did you notice that? Yeah. In the scene where he's talking to his dad about not wanting to own the business.
The color in his eye. I pointed that out.
Very subtle.
I pointed that out, and my boyfriend said, no, it's the reflection of something. And I was like, no, he has some color in his eye. Because his eyes are, like, kind of bluish green, and then there's some brown in his left eye.
Exactly. No, you didn't imagine that. It wasn't just a reflection.
Hell yeah, bruv.
It wasn't just a trick of the light.
Not a trick of the light.
So you can... yeah. Anyways, just wanted to say that. Just big fan.
Big fan. Honestly, huge fan. I think the only reason why I was super reserved is because I was focused on the entire movie as a whole. But, like, truly, having watched this movie, like, at a very young age, maybe, like, between 10 or 12, around there. Like, I went into this movie being like, my mom has a crush on Bill Pullman. I need to figure out why. And then I watched it and I was like, whoa, that's a, that's what a nice man is like, you know?
Yeah.
This is, like, a good son. I love that. Very handsome. Still handsome. Would choose Bill Pullman today.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah.
1000%.
I just remembered one other thing that I wanted to talk about.
Yes.
Which was the trope of the week.
Yes. I was so curious what you were going
to
pick.
I had a lot to choose from, but I think that we're going to have to go. I don't know if there's one that specifically applies to this. So we'll have to go with the umbrella of the fake relationship. Because there's a lot of, like, subcategories of fake relationship. There's the beard, the boyfriend bluff, citizenship marriage, such as in The Proposal, Undercover lovers, etc. So like there's all of these subcategories, but I either couldn't find it or it doesn't exist of a subcategory specifically for pretending to be in a relationship with someone who doesn't know you exist. But if that does exist, Sierra Burgess technically might be under that category as well. So there's, it definitely exists in other, I know, I shouldn't have name dropped that one. It's a bad example. What's another
one? No, you're right. You're right. It is. I feel like we should.
You just cringed because it's just a terrible movie.
Man, that movie had me. I was like, when I first watched it, I'm like, aw, that's very sweet. And I was caught up in the emotion of it. And then looking back and hearing people's reactions, I rewatched it and was like, fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. We agree on almost everything.
Yeah. That said, how would you rate this movie? Like, what would you rate it? Give us a custom out of 10 scale.
I would rate this movie 10 handmade rocking chairs out of 10.
Ooh, I like that. I like that a lot. I would rate this 10 also. I would rate it 10 engagement rings in the Subway token tray out of 10. Because that is one thing we forgot to mention. I don't know how we forgot to mention this, but the kind of wrap up of the movie is that at the altar, Lucy spills her beans. Sounds weird the way I said it, but you know, she lets the cat out of the bag and then she leaves. There's this big hubbub with the family. Peter, turns out that Peter's has another fiance who actually is married and blah, blah, my blah, God. All this stuff. So she just takes that opportunity to sneak out. And then later on, when, you know, the movie's kind of winding down, we don't, you know, she hasn't clearly been in contact with them. She just goes back to life as normal. It's her last day on the job, though, because she's decided to quit.
Yeah. Good for her.
On her last day on the job, tokens, she's looking down as the tokens come into the little tray. She's counting them. She's putting them to the side. Business as usual. And then what falls into her tray but a diamond engagement ring? And she looks up. Who's there? Jack? Wrong. It's Jack and all of his family. Except for Peter, because forget about Peter. It's his entire family. And then they start, like, micromanaging on him on how to propose to her and blah, blah, blah. So then eventually he, like, comes around into the booth so it can be just the two of them. And then he proposes and she says yes. And again, we're going to overlook the fact that they went straight from not knowing each other 2 weeks ago to getting married because...
And saying, I love you.
It's La La Land, yeah. Okay? Yeah. They say, you know, they had one kiss up till this point, you know? It's fine.
Yeah, mistletoe kiss. We're
not going to talk about it.
Yeah. A very small mistletoe kiss. This movie literally has all the tropes I love. This movie raised me.
Exactly. I'm telling you, man, rom-com plus Christmas.
Yeah.
It has all the things that you want and need.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so he proposes to her, they end up together, so 10 engagement rings in the token tray out of 10.
Yeah, and...
I'm not even taking off points for the fact that they jump straight from not knowing each other to marriage. I'm not even taking off points. I'm not taking off points for anything.
I'm not.
Literally, this is a perfect movie.
It is a perfect movie in my eyes. I can see anything, I can concede to any criticisms people have, but I don't care. They sold me on it.
There's not even any off-color, like, badly aged jokes. No. It's not even, like, there's literally nothing. Like, it ages perfectly.
Yeah. There's nothing
it
about
has
this.
Has aged perfectly.
There's nothing about this movie that makes me go, I dislike that. Like, with my whole butt.
Exactly.
You know? With my entire butt.
Yeah.
Nothing.
In fact, my butt feels affection for this movie. Holy.
My entire ass is behind this film. Okay.
Me too.
Yeah. I think this is our first 10 out of 10.
Is it really?
I think so, because I think the closest one to it would have been Crazy Rich Asians, which I think I gave 9 out of 10.
Well, what
did we
give? What about Extraordinary?
I think I gave it a 9.5.
I think you docked points because you didn't like that one scene.
I didn't like their sex scene.
Yeah.
Mostly because,
honestly, fair.
She deserved better. I wanted her
first
real time to be better.
If you guys don't know what we're talking about, go back and listen to VomCom episode 13, I believe it was, which is called Extraordinary.
Yeah, great movie.
Great movie.
I think
another great movie. Another but great this, movie. I'm giving a wholehearted, whole-butted 10 out of 10 to While You Were Sleeping.
Yeah.
Even though especially because the first time I watched it, I couldn't even get all the way through because I was cringing. And now upon second watch, I'm like, no, this is amazing.
Yeah, I'm
high quality content.
I'm so glad you feel like that, because if I love this movie the way that I do and you were just kind of like, yeah, I don't really see it, I would have been upset.
Yeah, we've clashed on movies before, and it was like we had to what's that word, mediate.
We really did. We had to be so, we were good and respectful of each other's opinions, so I'm glad. Yes. I didn't have to put the energy into doing that, and we could just wholly love it.
You didn't have to like
love it with our whole butts
debate.
Yeah.
Oh man. Oh, good job, buddy.
Good job to you guys. Yeah. Really, honestly, watch this movie. I know we say that about every movie, please. But like, watch this movie. It's a great Christmas movie.
Tis the season. Yeah.
Tis the season indeed. Okay, Molly. Where can the people find you on your social media?
Right. You can find me on Instagram at molly.mca or on TikTok at mollythewitch. Which are very different flavors. So choose your own adventure. Kat, how about you?
You can find me at It's Catherine Ram on any social media. All the flavors are the same.
Delicious spicy mango on every platform. And you can also find VomCom at VomCom Podcast on TikTok and Instagram. You know, leave us a comment. Interact with us. Tell us what movie you want us to watch next. Literally, we love any and all interaction. Like Sandra Bullock at the beginning of While You Were Sleeping, we're lonely and we need, and only you can help.
Will you be our Bill Pullman, and
will you Callahan be our sponsor?
Yeah, guys, do everything. Rate us 5 stars on Instagram, on iTunes. That would be very helpful. Leave us a comment. That would be nice.
We'll give you a big old kiss.
Big old wet kiss.
Okay.
Yeah.
Love you.
Bye.
Love you. Bye.
I am fond of you, you know.
And a girl?
I don't wish you weren't such a stinker.
Bada bing, bada boom.